happy Saturday morning. You're listening to The Beacon. We are off to a roaring start this morning.
That's right.
Let's see. What have I done? I have announced the wrong month. So this is take two. I banged my knee into the door. This all happened within the last 2.5 minutes, by the way.
That's right.
So it's a morning, to say the least. That's really probably all we can say about it. But
yeah, well, we're taping on Thursday morning, so it's really dreary and rainy. And
oh, man.
Blase, blah.
We've had power surges in the studio and printer problems and internet problems and... We're just a hot mess over here.
That's too bad.
At least we're cute, though. We've got a show for ya.
Yes, we do. We have a really big shoe. We've got a friend who's been on the show for many, many years in a row, the Illinois Secretary of State, Jesse White, who we'll hear from. Sandra sat down and talked to him about things that are going on with his office. And I think he talks a little bit about Bill Jurek, too. So
yeah, he was. He and Bill were buds.
Yeah.
They were buds. He was Secretary of State Jesse White's been on our show every year. He was always the first show of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
So we've switched it up a little bit for 2018. But I'm so glad that he's still part of our show.
Well, he was going to do that again this year as well. But he was a little under the weather when he was scheduled. So he rescheduled. So we're happy that he came back and did that.
That's
so
excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Jesse White. We've got the oldies but goodies.
Yes, all the usual segments.
Yeah. Can we be any more vague? It's Highly Recommended with Brett and Sandy, The Awe Factor with yours truly, and Luke's Laboratory with Luke Scriven and Juan Suarez.
All right, but that's not to say that we're going to go immediately to that. Since the morning was already sort of out of place and things juxtaposed as they normally are, I somehow just went right into the rundown. I am dying to know what happened with TJ's birthday party.
My son turned 6 last weekend, and we had a big party for him. It was good. You know, my mom was visiting from California, which is always lovely.
Is she still here?
She's not. She was here for 5 days, which is longer than she's usually here for. So we got an extra bonus couple of days with her. We had his party at Jump Zone. So they got
how many people showed up?
There were like 9 kids there. Yeah, because last week I talked about how we have to do paper invitations, right? And just kind of how things get lost in translation. So yeah, I would say half of the invites didn't respond at all. And then the other half did, and I get so paranoid too. I'm convinced that people will say yes and then forget about it and not show up. So I'm very like worst case scenario when it comes to planning parties. Which is why I don't plan parties for myself, because I'm convinced that nobody will ever come. So,
I remember you saying that, yes.
Oh, my gosh. So, fortunately, that was not the case with TJ's party. Everybody showed up, had a wonderful time. He's a funny little dude, man. He's just very, like, practical about everything and very serious and, you know.
Did they bring presents?
Did they? They did bring presents.
Wow.
And, you know, kids don't open presents at parties anymore, like at the birthday party.
You took them all home?
That's what you do now.
Oh.
That's the thing. You don't open presents at birthday parties anymore. So we took them all home. He opened them all up. Lots of Legos. He likes to draw, so he got lots of drawing stuff. My mom actually got him a refurbished iPod, because he likes to listen to 80s music. I'm not kidding you. This kid's favorite song is Hold Me Now by the Thompson Twins.
Wow.
He is obsessed with it. I don't know.
Sounds like he's an old soul.
I think he is. I think in more ways than one. But he just came home from his dad's one day and was obsessed with this song. And he'll draw like pictures of the Thompson Twins and post like tape them on the wall, and he'll write the lyrics down. So my mom got him this little iPod that he can listen to music on. So he walks around with his iPod and his headphones on and just like singing at the top of his lungs, Hold Me Now.
Be careful. I had a friend who did that in high school, except the band of choice was Kiss.
Oh.
And he would draw Gene Simmons on the blackboard in our biology class. He wound up being a musician. So
well, see, there you go. I mean, you know, Kiss can lead to interesting things. I actually have a funny story about Kiss. When I was in second grade, this is totally off topic, but it just whenever I hear Kiss, it reminds me of the story. When I was in second grade, there was a third grader who had a crush on me, and he made me a mixtape of Kiss songs when he was in third grade and I was in second grade. It was like, I mean, I didn't know what was what. I was 8 years old. Like, I didn't know Kiss at all, but I will never, ever, ever forget that. And every time I think of Kiss, I think of my dear friend Paul Olszewski, who is actually a friend of mine on Facebook now, so I should tell him that.
Well, that makes sense.
He should listen for the shout-out this weekend.
I bet on the tape was the song Dr. Love.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Black Diamond. These are Kiss songs.
I believe you.
All right. Okay.
It's a good story. Good memory.
Well,
anyway.
I have a story of Kiss, too, but I'll tell you off here.
Okay, cool.
All right. And one other thing before we get to what we're going to get to, Facebook keeps creepy secret files on the intimate habits of internet users, even if they don't have an account. Yeah, so I don't know. Should I say be careful?
That's terrifying.
They're able to track you, you know, with the use of cookies, and most folks know what cookies are. They're like text files, and if you go to a website and they have a cookie on your computer, sometimes you don't have to log into that site. But this one gentleman who was a reporter, he went on there and he was able to find a lot of information that Facebook had gathered on him. His name was Mr. Wiggum. He was a New Zealand Herald reporter. And he found a mobile recording of an old VHS video of his mother hugging him as he left for his first day of preschool. He also stumbled across scanned copies of tenancy agreements, bills for his home broadband service, and screenshots of bank transfers, as well as more chat logs and other history.
And he doesn't have a Facebook account.
He did have a Facebook account. Still. He was at one point into social media. So, but it says here that you too can download your personal data file from Facebook. And to download your personal data file, check at the top right of your Facebook page and select settings. Click download a copy of your Facebook data below your general account settings. Facebook will process a file with all your data since the day you created your account. Make sure your email is correct because Facebook will send you an email and notification when your file is ready to download.
Holy smokes!
Yeah, and Mark Zuckers says that they collect all this information to target adverts and content based on your preferences as well as for security purposes.
Oh, yeah, it's for our benefit. Right.
Yeah, so all of those things. So just something that you can have a little bit of fun with and just to see, because I'm dying to do that. But I was shocked that it said that this guy, it showed his mother hugging him when he was going to preschool. And obviously, if he's a reporter for the Herald in New Zealand, he's a lot older. So they've had that for quite a while. So I guess.
And it originated on VHS, which was totally like analog. There's no digital connection whatsoever.
Yeah, so he's had it for, well, maybe someone in his family uploaded it at
right,
some point.
Right, right, yes, yes.
That's how they got a hold of it.
That's crazy, though. That's insane. Mm-hmm. We are being watched everywhere, and I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I totally believe everything that we do is being recorded and watched.
That's true. Well, how about we get this show on the road, as if it already hasn't been. But we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we'll find out what's highly recommended by our two recommenders. This is The Beacon here on WCPT 820 AM.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year.
Being a veteran here, I think, has helped me. I could not see, because this is why I initially was brought here by a counselor from the VA, because like, they collaborate with each other and help us to get our vision better. When I first walked in here, I didn't know the life of a blind person. I actually didn't know. And when I came here, I walked through the door and I could see how people so, you know, they act like they could see. And it was so inspirational to me. I cried like a kid when I first got it because I was overwhelmed to see how people can deal with blindness, you know. And the Lighthouse really, really has helped me with a lot of things because I've learned to be more knowledgeable about computers. And they have an exercise class that they teach us how to exercise. Every fourth Friday of the month, we have a luncheon where all the seniors meet. We sit there and talk about different events and different things. And my greatest passion right now is being on the radio, reading to the blind. That's my greatest passion. I really love that. Number one is to be able to give back to people that can't see, because I was overwhelmed. And I promise God within myself that I will do this until I cannot see again. This is my greatest passion in my life.
Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to It's Highly Recommended here on the Lighthouse Beacon. I am Sandy Murillo.
And I am Brett Shishkoff.
How are you today?
I am doing well, but you had a book that you were talking to me about that you found very interesting, and with it being Women's History Month, we figured we would touch on a couple books that we find with some that have some strong women that we can either look up to or use an example of what we hope to be.
That's right, Brett. It's hard to believe that it's March already. You know, in February we had Black History Month, and now it's National Women's History Month.
Mm-hmm.
One of the women that I have always admired is Helen Keller. You know, as we know, she was a fearless advocate for people with disabilities, particularly for people who are blind or deaf. And one of the books that I recently read was Helen Keller, Humanitarian.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about this book, Brett, is that it was a biography about her, starting with her childhood, the struggles that she faced after losing her sight and her hearing,
mm-hmm,
as a young toddler, and learning to communicate after Annie Sullivan, her teacher, finally went and started teaching her the sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of our listeners might be familiar with The Miracle Worker, you know, the movie that starred Patty Duke as Helen Keller. And, you know, this movie, that is a very, I think it's a very moving account of the how Annie taught Helen to speak,
mm-hmm,
quote unquote speak.
Yeah.
But so going back to the book, you know, it covers this period. It covers Helen Keller's many achievements, you know, as a public speaker, as a advocate, not only in the United States, but across the world,
mm-hmm,
for the rights of people with disabilities. It also covers her advocacy in the suffrage movement, in,
mm-hmm,
the feminism movement. So it's a very, very detailed, not just biography, but it does a great job. You know, I learned many things about her that I didn't know before reading this. For example, that, you know, at one point she was in a relationship with another person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were actually about to, I don't remember, to be honest, if they were about to become engaged or something, but because of her family's, you know, at the time there was still, and there still is, a lot of stigma about, you know, people with disabilities. But just imagine at the time, this took place in the early 1900s,
mm-hmm,
when there was even more stigma. And so her family, they opposed to this relationship between Helen Keller and this other person. And, you know, unfortunately, she never got married or became engaged. So that's something that before reading this book, you know, minor details like this, I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
This book is available through the National Library Service,
mm-hmm,
for the blind and physically handicapped. And again, it's called Helen Keller, Humanitarian. And I highly recommend it.
Very nice. I myself actually have a book of my own that I would like to recommend to all of you out there. I actually am recommending My Name is Malala. Mm-hmm. It's about the young girl in Syria as... it's basically the story of her fighting for education with her dad. Her dad was a very big component in basically trying to get education for his daughter and just everybody. And he was sticking up for himself and other people in that area as the Taliban was becoming stronger and taking over that area. And so it's an interesting story because it gives you an insight from the Syrian perspective of how the Taliban were able to take over so easily. Mm-hmm. That from our eyes here in the United States, we get a little confused on how could people let it just happen, that they wouldn't put up a fight. And realistically, as you read the story, you understand faith can definitely be a weapon for good, but mm-hmm. it also can be a weapon for bad change. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in Syria, is that they were using the Quran as a way to weaken the people's reasoning to have the rights expand to women having a better education for themselves. And so it's literally, as the story goes on, you really know that Malala and her dad are in a lot of danger because they are speaking out against the Taliban, who are an extremely bad enemy to have, let's put it that way. And so you just can constantly know that something's going to happen to one of them or her family, mm-hmm. and they're moving from their home to other parts of Syria as the Taliban is moving in. They just continue getting pushed out of their home further and further and further. So it's a really, really powerful story about this young girl who is constantly fighting for education along with her dad, and just gives you an inside look at what happened with Syria during the Taliban years. And I don't think a lot of people really take the time to really know what it's like to walk in their shoes, and you get to have an understanding of the Muslim faith a little bit more.
Sure.
And so it does give you a lot more insight than you would normally have just going by what we see in the news.
And you know, Brett, Malala, she is one of the women that I personally look up to. You know, she has done so much to fight, you know, for education equality, and mm-hmm. at such a young age. I think right now she's, what, in her teens?
Yeah, she's older 20s? Than that, because when the book was written, she was in her teens, and this uh-huh. was, I want to say it's 6 years ago, so she's probably closer to 20 now.
So, you know, I think that's impressive, that she is so young, and she's already made a difference in the world.
Yes, yeah, it makes you look at your own life mm-hmm. and kind of question, what have I done with myself
today? Oh my gosh, for sure.
Or just lately, that I can be able to use her story as just a way to continue to push for rights for people with disabilities, or whatever your fight is, if it's women's rights, whatever you feel like you need to have your voice heard, this book is a very, very good one to, no matter if you believe you're in danger, you still have to stick to your guns and fight for what you believe in. But this is Brett Shishkoff.
And this is Sandy Murillo.
And you are listening to It's Highly Recommended on the Lighthouse Beacon. We will be right back.
That smells good.
Well, look who came out of his man cave. Game must be over.
Oh, babe, just checking on you. And dinner.
Well, your stomach clock is fast. It's gonna be a while. How about some celery?
Nah, that's rabbit food. There must be something good in here.
Well, why don't you...
You okay?
Oh.
Honey!
It can happen anytime, any place, without warning. Fact is, 2 out of 3 people with diabetes die of a heart attack or stroke. Many don't even know they're at risk. The good news is, if you or someone you love has diabetes, you can lower the risk. but it's up to you to ask your healthcare provider how. For more information, go to diabetesactnow.org. That's diabetesactnow.org. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Beacon. Right now, we thought that we would get into the awe factor.
We did think that.
Yes.
We thought that'd be a good idea. So today we're talking about two strangers who get new hearts on the same day, fall in love after families met in the waiting room. So this was actually, you know, more of a Valentine's Day type story. But we're not too far out from Valentine's Day, so I'm going with it. I'm making it happen. Taylor Gibbons and Colin Cabelja are a match made in heaven. Soon they will be tying the knot, and it's all because of both of their faulty hearts. They had both been born, Cabelja, who was 22 years old at the time, he had been born with an abnormal heart, and he was in the Fairfax Hospital of Virginia back in 2011, awaiting his second heart transplant. He was on the verge of death and was basically being kept alive by machines, and he was not expected to survive. There's typically an average of a four-month waiting period for a heart transplant. However, as luck would have it, a donor came through and Cabelja was given a new heart just in time. Meanwhile, in the hospital room a few doors down, 17-year-old Givens was also awaiting a heart transplant. She had been diagnosed with an enlarged heart and as well was hooked up to machines that were keeping her alive. And they were hoping for a miracle because she would not survive without it. And as fate would have it, she was found a new heart as well. Just before Givens' heart was due to give out, a donor came through and the teenager underwent a successful transplant on the very same day as Cabelja. The two patients never met, but their families met while they were in the waiting room. So they would come to visit their children, they'd see each other in the waiting room, they'd see each other around the hospital, and so the families became friends. They heard that there was both of them had transplant children who are awaiting transplants, and so they wanted to meet and talk about the experience. The Givens did, but Cabelja at the time was just too drained from the stress and just didn't feel like interacting with anybody new. So they never met while they were in the hospital. But the friendship struck up between the parents, and they connected, and the kids ended up connecting on social media. And once they had recovered, Cabelja moved to California and Givens lived in Virginia. They stayed in touch, but still did not have the chance to meet until 2016. Givens was actually recovering from having her tonsils removed in the same hospital where they had the transplant. And Cabelja was visiting the facility to just catch up with his old doctors and his old transplant team. And Givens asked Cabelja to come by her room and say hi. And the two of them hit it off immediately. He left the room, and Givens' mom said, well, you know, he was flirting with you. And they've just been inseparable ever since. So they've had to overcome several obstacles. They dated long distance because at the time Cabelja was in California. And Givens actually underwent chemotherapy for lymphoma that was caused by her transplant. But now they're planning on getting married soon. And both of them say that it's all thanks to their faulty hearts and their array of health issues. They're quoted as saying, all of the things that fell into place for us to be together are wild. Everything has happened exactly as it needed to be. She is now 24, he is 30, and they are saying, we have been very lucky it all lined up. So you never know when things are at their darkest, you know, it's always darkest before dawn, as they say. So when things seem like they're falling apart, just hang in there. Once you get through it, you don't know what's on the other side. It could be a beautiful sunrise.
Right. So are they sure that they fell in love with each other, or was it the hearts from the donors?
That's a very good question.
But anyway, at any rate, whatever it was great. It's a fantastic story that they were able to find each other.
You know, and I think when you go through such, I would imagine, a traumatic experience as a heart transplant and you know, going through an experience where you're on the brink of death and then coming through that, being able to have that experience and relate to somebody else who's gone through the same thing, I imagine it's a pretty powerful connection. So I wish them the best. I hope that you know, their relationship kind of supersedes all of the medical issues. And once they settle into normal life, that they are meant to be.
Coming up after this break, we'll have a chance to have our yearly visit with Illinois Secretary of State Jesse White. And you're listening to The Beacon here on WCPT 820 AM.
Disability is something most people don't like to think about. But a 35-year-old man has a 1 in 5 chance of becoming disabled during his working lifetime. A woman of the same age has a 1 in 4 chance.
If you become disabled and are unable to work, you may apply for Social Security disability benefits. There are two ways you can apply. The fastest and most convenient way is online at www.socialsecurity.gov. Or you may call 1-800-772-1213 to make an appointment to apply at your local Social Security office or to set up an appointment for someone to take your application over the phone. Learn more about disability benefits and take advantage of the helpful Disability Starter Kit at www.socialsecurity.gov/disability. That's www.socialsecurity.gov/disability.
Well, welcome back, everyone. And today I have the distinguished honor and pleasure of interviewing Secretary of the State of Illinois, Jesse White. This is my first time interviewing Mr. White, so I have to admit I am a little on the nervous side, but it's great to have you here.
Glad to be on board, Sandy. We're fine.
We're fine. We'll be fine, right?
Yes, I've been coming here for the past 19 years, being interviewed by Bill Jerrick at the beginning of the year, because we used to talk about some of the latest bills that have been introduced and have become law in the state of Illinois. And, of course, you know, Bill and I are... We're good friends, and I especially, you know, miss him and Mrs. Doug Lincoln.
And, you know, I know that Bill, I've been working here at CRIS for 4 years now, and ever since I started as an intern, I remember that Bill, that was always one of the highlights for him, your interview at the beginning of the year. I think it's like he told me once, it's almost a tradition. So I am very honored to say that, you know, I will keep this tradition going, and it's a pleasure having you here.
Glad to be here with you, Sandy, and I just know this is the beginning of a long relationship.
I agree. Thank you so much. And are there any memories, before we get started, are there any memories or moments? I know that you had a great rapport with Bill and with Lincoln.
Well, I just remember Bill was always up to date on the latest issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And he was just a good friend, and a person who I miss dearly. Yeah. But more importantly, I know that he used to pride himself on being able to provide information to those in need. And I just want to applaud, commend, and thank him for his giving and caring spirit and for his commitment to duty. And I miss him dearly.
Very much. So we all do. A great friend, great mentor. You know, he will be missed by everyone. Well, Mr. White, I know that there are always changes in Illinois law, and some of the ones that are very important for everyone, people with disabilities, and for teenagers. We are here to discuss a couple of those. Doctors can now submit for handicap placards parking. Doctors can submit the request online, the application online. I know in the past it used to be done only on paper. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You used to go to you would be required to go to your doctor, and the doctor would examine you, and then he would then affix his findings on a piece of paper that you would take to the Secretary of State's office in order to get your placard. Mm-hmm. Now it could be transmitted electronically. And from the doctor's office to the Secretary of State's office. So it keeps you from having to get involved with another piece of paper. And it's really convenient to the individual in need.
So now how would it work? Like an individual that wants to apply or renew, do they first have to obtain a paper application, or do they let the
doctor
know?
Go to the doctor's office, uh-huh, and the doctor will submit the necessary information electronically to the Secretary of State's office, which means that you don't have to handle another piece of paper.
Oh, and that's even environmentally friendly.
Well, sometimes, you know, people misplace and they lose, mm-hmm, the document. Mm-hmm. And now there's a good relationship between the doctor's office and the Secretary of State's office.
And it's more secure, you know, instead of worrying about it getting lost in the mail.
Oh, and then it's the falsification of documents as
sure,
well.
Sure, sure. It serves many.
My office is the largest office of its kind in the nation. Mm-hmm. And we have about 4,000 employees, $396 million budget, 130 offices, 23 agencies, corporate filings and securities, keep the seal, court of claims, license plate stickers, state IDs. I'm also the head librarian for the state of Illinois. We have about 5,000 libraries that come through my jurisdiction, and then we distribute about $77 million a year in support of the libraries. Then another $50 million for libraries who may want to help make their library handicap accessible. They may want to put an elevator in the building, or the boiler may have gone down, or they want to make the library customer friendly, so to speak.
Sure. Sure. So in other words, libraries can also work to become more accessible.
Sure. It's the safety net, the last end of the tunnel. It's a place where people could come, become better educated and better informed, and in a safe and friendly environment as well.
And for individuals that might not be aware, the Secretary of State, that also runs the Talking Book Program.
Yes,
here in Illinois.
Yes, with the Braille.
Mm-hmm. The Braille, the audio. Well, back in the day, they used to be audio tapes. I remember as a child, I'd get them on audio cassette, get the different cassettes, books mailed out to me, and now it is done via special cartridges.
Sure.
And, you know, with a special app. So it just shows how your office and the library is committed to, you know, staying abreast of all the latest updates.
And, of course, we want to make sure we share that information to those in need, mm-hmm. and making sure they can easily become better educated, better informed.
Very much so. And I know that another important topic that is dear to you, Mr. White, is that of organ donation.
Yes. Janet, we just had introduced a bill in the Illinois General Assembly, and it was passed and signed by the governor. It would allow 16 and 17-year-olds who would like to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program mm-hmm. to sign up to become a part of the program. Now, here in Illinois, we have 6.3 million people who sign up to become organ donors. However, there are 4,700 people on the waiting list as we speak, and each year about 300 people die because organs have not arrived in a timely manner. So
Wow. We
ask that when you're alive and well, give blood. When you're no longer here, give organs. When you've done those two things, you will make a positive impact upon society, considering the fact that one person can provide life or improve the quality of life for 25 individuals. We honored a doctor not far from here at the Laurel Medical Center. Mm-hmm. She gave her patient her kidney. And then we honored a teacher in New Lenox, Illinois. She gave her student her kidney.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I coach a team called the Jesse White Tumblers. And we've been around for 59 years. We do about 1,500 shows a year with 225 young people. And this young man was coming out of the Fort City Theater and was shot and killed by a gangbanger. Uh-huh. And as a result of that tragic situation, six of his organs were used for transplantation purposes. A friend of mine, Val Landon from WGCI, formerly from WGCI, died of an aneurysm. And 9 of organs were used for transplantation purposes, organs and tissue parts. And one gentleman received the corners of eyes. So there's a lot to be said about the organ and tissue donor program, where you give others a second chance at life or help to improve the quality of life.
You know, I have to share this anecdote. As a child, I remember when I was about 5 or 6 years old, and my mom, she was explaining what organ donation is to me. And I have to tell you, Mr. White, I immediately knew that I wanted to become an organ donor, because it's such a beautiful concept, you know, giving life to others, like you said, turn a tragedy into a giving opportunity.
Sure. Sandy, that's you warmed my heart with that. That's a person with a giving and a caring spirit. And whenever I come across someone like that, then it warms my heart. Let me share with you a story about my family.
Sure.
I have a brother, I had a brother who was a pharmacist at the Lakeside VA Hospital. My mother kept saying to me, I need to take George, your brother, to the doctor's office because he's complaining about a headache. I said, well, he's a pharmacist. He should certainly know how to take care of a headache. And so as it turned out, I ended up taking him to the doctor, and the doctor examined him and realized that he was suffering from an aneurysm. Mm-hmm. So we took him from there to the University of Chicago Hospital. And that same night, they put him on life support. And a member for the Regional Organ Bank at the time, which is now Gift of Hope, asked if by chance he happens to pass away, can we use his organs for transplantation purposes? I was a state lawmaker at the time. I didn't know anything about the organ and tissue donor program. And so I thought it was an experimental program. So he asked, if he passes away, can we use his organs for transplantation purposes? I said, no, don't bother him. Don't bother us. Leave us alone. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, he passed away that night. And 2 days later, we buried him. And I didn't know anything. I didn't think anything of the organ tissue donor program until this happened. Mm-hmm. And when I say it happened, my sister became ill, and she was in dire need of a kidney. And that was not a match within the family. Then my eyes became wide open, and now I know the importance of the organ tissue donor program. So as it turned out, she put her name on the organ tissue donor list, and through the generosity of someone else, she got a second chance in life. She got the kidney that she was seeking. She's alive and well, and thankful of the generosity of the person who is no longer here, but yet provided her with a second chance in life. And we found, too, that there are a lot of myths that are out there, too, Sandy.
Sure.
Sometimes they'll say, I choose not to participate in the organ tissue donor program because the doctor will not put forth a genuine effort to save me. Well, your doctor has a commitment to you and to you only. And
absolutely.
So the doctor will do all he can to save you. And then they'll say, well, they'll sell my organs. Well, we don't sell organs in this country. Or they may say, the rich man's going to get his organs before I get mine. Well, there's an order we must follow, so we will not violate that. Or they may say, because of religious purposes or because of religious reasons, I choose not to participate. Well, all of the religions in the Western world support the organ and tissue donor program. And then they may say, I mean, I look good. Am I going away? Well, sometimes morticians can make you look even better. But the bottom line is this. Morticians have it down to a science. They know how to make the body look presentable. So please don't buy into those myths. And sign to become a part of the organ and tissue donor program.
Absolutely, and I do appreciate all of your advocacy efforts. Like I said, ever since I was a kid, this is a topic I've been very passionate about. So I appreciate all of your advocacy efforts during your 5 terms here as a Secretary of State here in Illinois. And I understand. Speaking of terms, I understand that you will be running for re-election.
Yes, I am. Right now, I'm the longest serving Secretary of State in the history of the state of Illinois. I mm-hmm. want to thank you and your listening audience and others. I was a lawmaker for 16 years, the Cook County Record of Deeds for 6, and 19 years in this office, 10 years in the military. I used to jump on airplanes. 8 years professional baseball. I used to play baseball in the Cub organization. 33 years as a teacher, and 59 years as coach and founder of the Jesse White Tumbling Team, but yet I'm not 150 years of age. I believe that when you come through this world, you become successful, Sandy, you give back. I also believe that every day you must do something good for someone. That's how I run my life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, what are some of the projects that you have for your upcoming term? Are there any that you would like to talk about?
Sure.
Or anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, you know, my mission as a Secretary of State is to help make the roads and keep the roads as safe as possible. Uh-huh. And we have the GDL, Graduated Driver's License Program, where we require parents to spend 50 hours behind the wheel of the automobile with a young person who's learning how to drive. 10 of those hours would be done at night because we realize that nighttime driving creates a problem for the young driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result of the strict rules and regulations and the involvement of part of the parents, the law enforcement community, the court system, there's been a 50% reduction in the loss of lives at the hands of our teen drivers. So these young people are going to help run this great country of ours. We want to make sure we give them an opportunity to do so. And so we're proud of the fact that we have a 50% reduction in the loss of lives, but yet I want it down to 0. And when that happens, life will be a lot better for all of us.
not just for the teenagers, but for everyone general.
Because, you know, there's a driving public out there. Yes. We want the driving public to be safe while these young individuals are driving the automobile. And then there's also drunk driving. There's been a 40% reduction in the loss of lives at the hands of drunk drivers. We have a program called the Bay Device, where if by chance you get a DUI and you want to continue to drive while your legal matters are being adjudicated, you can ask for this device to be installed in your automobile. You blow into the tube if alcohol is detected and the car will start. And then if by chance you have the device in your automobile and you're driving along, there's a monitor there that will emit a certain number of beeps to let you know it's time for you to blow into it again, to make sure you didn't stop off at the local corner, the bar at the local on the local corner to get some more liquid appeasement. So we're proud of the fact that there's been a 40% reduction. We're working now with some new legislation that will combat some of the problems that we have surrounding drunk driving. Mm-hmm. And let me give you an example. There are times when an individual will have been cited for drunk driving, and the information in their record would indicate that they have an extensive record of drinking and driving.
Sure.
So in the past, that information could not be used in a court setting.
Really?
And now we're moving to make sure that this person's history is a part of the sentencing process or make a decision as to whether the individual is going to receive a longer period of time in jail or a longer suspension.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very important. Now, are there any other legislations or projects?
Well, there are a number of issues that we're dealing with to make sure that when individuals come to the Secretary of State's office, if they're pregnant, disabled, or senior citizen, we bring them to the front of the line. Mm-hmm. We take care of them right away. This way, we make it the office customer friendly. We also have placed on a person's driver's license the designation of them being a part of the military establishment, meaning mm-hmm. they have served in the military.
Sure.
And then, right now, if you're a senior citizen, 65 years of age, and you want to get a state ID, we will give you that ID free of charge. And we'll place on it a lifetime certificate, which means that you will no longer have to come back to the Secretary of State's office in order to get it renewed. Prior to me putting this in place, individuals would have to pay for the state ID if they were 65 years of age and older, mm-hmm. and they have to come back into the Secretary of State's office every 4 years in order to get their state ID renewed. And now it's a one-time venture to the Secretary of State's office.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your commitment to all Illinoisans of all ages, all abilities, you know, for nearly 20 years now, you've been, you know, implementing new legislation that, you know, helps us all.
Yes. Well, Sandy, you know, I had intentions of this being my last year, but I was been encouraged by friends, neighbors, and constituents to continue to function in this office. And so my name will be on the ballot for this November. Pardon me, this March, and then next November, I'll be a part of the election process. And I would just hope that the people of the state of Illinois will think kindly of me, meaning they appreciate my leadership, my commitment to duty, and in that way it will put me in a posture by which I can continue another 4 years of providing those meaningful services that the people richly need and deserve. And then the other thing, too, that I did when I came to this office, the office was under a cloud of controversy. So I hired a fellow by the name of Jim Burns, who's a former U.S. attorney from the Northern District of Illinois. He's my inspector general. And so now the office is a lot cleaner than it used to be. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing, too, that I did when I came into this office, prior to coming to this office, the employees would be required to buy fundraising tickets self-fundraising to extend to political work. I believe we've abolished that program and that policy because I believe if you're doing a good enough job in the office of the Secretary of State that the people of goodwill who are not a part of the administration will allow me to have the funds that I need in order to run the office.
Absolutely. Very important. Well, we, Mr. White, we need you here for another 4 years, not just in Illinois, but also here at Chris Radio on the Beacon. You know, we need you to keep coming here in the years to come. And thank you so much for all of your support of the Lighthouse and of Chris Radio.
Well, just know that anytime you want me, Sandy, I'll be here with you to let the people within your listening audience know that not only have we taken on the job, but we've taken on the responsibility that goes with it, and we're glad to share that information with you.
Best of luck to you in the 2018 election.
Well, thank you very much, Sandy.
This is the Lighthouse Beacon.
Well, it's always such a pleasure to have Secretary of State Jesse White.
He's
just a nice guy. You know, he's a nice man, and he does so much good, and he just is one of those feel-good people that I enjoy.
Well, you know, he's a military man.
I don't think I knew that.
Yes, and so everything has to run like clockwork. And believe me, now you're from California, I'm from Illinois, I lived here in Chicago all my life, and there was a time when you would go to the motor vehicles facility to renew whatever you had to renew. You had to take a book, a newspaper, a friend to talk to.
Because you were there for hours.
Yes, but not any longer. I think the last time I had anything renewed, I was in and out of there within 8 minutes because I was timing it, and that includes the time it took me to park. And also, there was a problem. Someone had to find a file while I was in line. So it's really fast now.
I experienced that as well when I broke my foot last year. I broke my foot last year, and I was on crutches. I was in a cast and on crutches, and so I was issued a temporary disabled placard for my car. And so I went in to get that, and I had my little paper filled out by my doctor, and immediately I got in line. Somebody came to me, said, you know what, have a seat, give me your paper, I will go in and process your placard. Maybe 3 or 4 minutes, and he came out with my placard, and I was good to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I was so impressed by that.
Yeah.
Astonishing. That's not what you expect from the DMV, but he's clearly whipped it into shape.
Yes,
so,
he's a military man.
That his. Actually, that makes sense now that you say that.
No, I don't know if these other gentlemen, actually, I do know they have not served in the military.
Okay. But we still love them.
We still like them, and they've got lots of great information. As a matter of fact, you may have seen Luke earlier in the week. He was very much in the Chicago media because the Chicago Lighthouse North is expanding their tech offerings based on a grant that was given by Rick and Sandy Forsyth. It's the Forsyth Center for Comprehensive Vision Care, and you know, hopefully he'll get into that a little bit. And other things as well. So here's Luke in his laboratory with Juan.
I'm Juan Suarez. Good Saturday morning. And good morning to Mr. Luke, who's been on a hiatus for a little bit, but he's back. What's up, Luke? How are you?
I am doing great, Juan. I'm back and raring for action.
And so what are we talking about today on Luke's laboratory?
Well, we've received an influx of new products recently. So I was going to talk about a couple of those today. The first one is called the Victor Reader Trek, and I'm pretty sure that you have heard of the Victor Reader Stream before.
I actually have one.
Oh, well, there you go then. Yeah. So Victor Reader Stream is a book player. It's a Daisy book reader. So for those people who enjoy listening to books from Bard, for example, those are what they call Daisy books. And you can get a player from your local library to play those. However, it is kind of bulky and not very portable. And so the Victor Reader Stream from Humanware was a product which basically is a lot more like an MP3 player. It's nice and compact and small, and you can take it with you. And you can load all your books up onto there and take them with you wherever you go. So that's one thing. The other thing is the Trekker Breeze, also from Humanware, which was a GPS navigational device, so you can get walking instructions to get to places. You can investigate what kind of businesses and things like that are around you, and then get directions to them. You can navigate kind of around, you know, college campuses and various things like that. So the Victor Reader Trek is combining those two products together into one. And the amazing thing is that the device is actually only slightly bigger than the Victor Reader Stream. So they've managed to pack the GPS from the Victor Reader Trek into there without making the stream much bigger. And if you know how to use a Victor Reader stream already, then you'll be very comfortable in using the Victor Reader Trek. Even if you don't, it's pretty simple to operate, and yeah, it seems to work really well. And I want to tell you about another new device which we have just received, and this is the Aira. This one we have touched on briefly in this show before. It is a pair of sunglasses with a camera built in. And essentially, you are paying for the service with this one. So you're not paying for the device, you are paying for the service, which starts at $89 a month. And what the service is basically sighted assistance wherever you are and whatever you're doing. So you're wearing these sunglasses which have a camera built in, and if you need sighted assistance with some with anything, then you can open an app on your phone and easily connect to an Aira employee, and they can then see through the camera on the glasses, and they can communicate to you via the phone, and they can also see your position on a GPS map. And so the idea is, anything you need help with, there is a trained Aira employee there to help you. And we're thinking about things like, for example, navigating. Let's say you go to a mall and you walk in and you want to know where the shoe store is. They can help navigate you around that mall and get you there. Let's say that you want to read something. You can just hold that thing in front of you and they can see through the camera on the glasses and read it to you. If you need help identifying different objects, they can help you out with that. They can even take pictures for you. And so they can help get you lined up with the camera on the glasses, and then they can snap pictures and they can send them to your phone and various things like this.
And that's called the Aira. So you said you don't pay for the glasses, just a service?
That's right. So there's no upfront cost for the actual device. Now, you don't actually own the glasses, so you do have to send them back when you finish subscribing. But yes, there's no you know cost for those. So it's $89 a month. It starts at $89 a month for 100 minutes, and there's four different plans available, going up to $400 a month. So yeah, really good device. If people want to come and check them out, they can come into our store at 1850 West Roosevelt Road or 222 Waukegan Road for our Glenview location. And if you want me to sit down with you and take a look at things, you can call 312-997-3649 to schedule that.
All right. And with that, it's time for, it's been a while, this week's
Customer of the Week. And this customer of the week, I actually just went to see yesterday, so very fresh in my mind, a delightful veteran, actually, by the name of Robert. And I was asked by the VA hospital to help him out with his computer. And so I'd been out there last week and helped get his computer set up. He'd accidentally wiped everything on the computer, so we had to get things set up again, which we managed to do. And in between the last week and this week, he called me and told me that he had managed to somehow contract a virus which had locked up his entire computer. So, you know, being the suspicious person that I am, I was like, I wonder what this, what he's been doing to make that happen. And I was a bit suspicious that he might have been going to some websites that he shouldn't have been going to. So I went out to see him yesterday to try and resolve the problem. And I just thought what actually happened was quite funny and also is a lesson. So he is a big fan of a type of hair comb called an ace comb. Okay, and he wanted to go to their website and check out what combs they had. So he went to his address bar in his browser and he typed in acecombs.com, which you would think might be the correct website. However, it is not the correct website for that company. And in fact, it takes you to a malicious website, which then tries to infect your computer with a virus. And this is exactly what had happened to him. So we managed to easily get it sorted out, and that was a good word of warning to people. Never assume that a company's website is going to be what you think is the most logical thing. Okay, so sometimes you've just got to do a bit of research to make sure you're going to the correct website.
So even if you're not 100% sure of the website, it's not even good to even just do a Google search for it.
Well, here's the thing with Google searches. They are extremely valuable, but you can get links which will take you to the wrong place even by doing a Google search. So
where you don't want to go.
Yeah, so you can get into trouble even doing that. Of course, If people are unsure, they can always give me a call and I can help them out with that kind of thing as well. Yeah, just got to be a little bit careful. And, you know, if you do get yourself into trouble, it's probably not too hard to get out of trouble. My advice would be to not touch the computer and to give somebody who knows about computers a call, and they can hopefully help you out.
That does it for this edition of Luke's Laboratory right here on The Beacon.
The Lighthouse Endowment Campaign is an ongoing campaign to help secure the future of the Chicago Lighthouse for the 67,000-plus patients, clients, and families that utilize our services each year. Historically, our endowment fund has helped maintain critical programs on the verge of shutting down, preserve jobs in times of economic stress, and meet the growing demand for vision care services among America's aging population. To make a contribution, please contact Jennifer Miller, 312-997-3643.
That's it, my friends. That's another day, Saturday in the can.
First day, first show of March.
Yes, not May. That was my blunder when I opened the show and we had to do a take two.
Yes.
It's not May.
Well, it doesn't happen often, but yes, it is March.
So have a good, safe week, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.